it's great to have the opportunity to share with you. Grace also had a great time at camp. I'll just report that. She did clean up vomit from one of our young people. So that was a good introduction to being a leader on camp. If you haven't cleaned up some kind of bodily fluid, then there's an issue. I'm sure if you've led on camp, you have a story about bodily fluid of some description. You do. It's true. Anyway, I'm up here to preach, not talk about bodily fluid. I'll say it one more time. Pastor Ben just invited me to share with you today, and I'm going to get a chance to pray in a second, but I'll do a little intro first. So Pastor Ben asked me to repeat basically what he was talking about, or reinforce what we were talking about a little while ago when he came and did his family talks. Now, family talks are somewhat daunting to me. If we have a family talk, that means that something's going on that needs addressing, and it's not always the easiest conversation. But it is a conversation that, if done well, can be open and inclusive, and we can share some views. So we're just going to look at what we are called to do today. What are we called for? Who are we called to? So let's pray. Oh Lord, I thank you for this opportunity to come and share your word. I thank you for everyone that's gathered here. I pray you move amongst this space. Holy Spirit, come and do your thing here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Sammy, I didn't bring the clicker. Are you going to look after it for me? You want to run me the clicker then? Don't shake your head at me, please. So, again, reinforcing who we are called to be. We are called to look beyond ourselves. So we are a church. It's out there. It's going to be on the screen in a minute. We're a church where we're called to love God, love each other, and love our community when it counts for everything. So I'm going to bring up this slide here, if it goes. And Pastor Ben used this verse in the second of his family talks, and I love it. Isaiah 61, verse 1, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort brokenhearted and to proclaim the captives will be released and the prisoners will be freed." So what are we called to do? I looked back and reviewed one of those family talks, and he said, we are called to get out of our safe spaces. That's a challenge for me, to get out of our safe spaces, to love our community. And this slide here, we are a church where loving God, loving each other, and loving our community counts for everything. That first line, there's four words on it. We are a church. It's not we are a community team. It's not we are Pastor Ben who's got a call for community, so therefore we should love the community. It's not a leader. It's not pop-up. It's not youth. It's not a few of us who are gifted in that area. This is a call and a cry for us. If you're a member of the Port Church, then you are a place where loving God, loving each other, and loving our community counts for everything. So that's a challenge. It's not just on a few of us who are blessed to be able to do ministry in the community. It's on all of us to lift our eyes and look at the community that we live in and do ministry among them and bring Jesus to them. I have the privilege of serving on the pop-up team, and it's a great place. It's a place that brings me joy and happiness every time I come, mixed in with a little bit of fear and trepidation, for you never know what's going to happen in that space. It's a loud space and a noisy space. It's a space where when I try and get control, I haven't got their attention like I do when I'm talking to you guys right now. Often I'm talking over a hubbub of noise. But it's a place where we had over 100 people here on Wednesday night. We had putting out tables late and running on the fly to try and feed everyone. But it's a place where God moves in that space. It's not a church service, but it is a place where the Holy Spirit comes and does work. He uses everyday people sitting around tables having discussions about everyday weeks to cause change and to make a space of welcome there. I was going to do my thing where I like to be really practical and really engaging, and I like to do something fun in the middle of my preach just to get your attention. I was going to call for a table and bring a table down here, like pop up and see how quickly could set it up. But there's not enough room. There's not enough room. But what I would have said if there was a table here, if there was a table right here, I would have said that I can, what is done here at a table on a Wednesday night or on a table or in a lounge room, however you want to shape it, but in this context, what is done at a table far outweighs what I can achieve from this pulpit. What I can do here in community, here in fellowship, far outweighs what I can do if I've got a microphone in my hand. It's a more interactive way of preaching the gospel. It's a more down-to-earth way of preaching the gospel than sitting up here talking to you. So I guess I want to encourage you today. This is my encouragement out of today, is that everywhere we're going, we are ministers of the gospel. It's not just for those who have the privilege of serving entitled roles or get handed the mic, but it's for each of us. And so this next slide I want to bring you around is this little thing that I've called Ministry of the Table. Now, if you look up Ministry of the Table on the internet, it'll tell you about the Eucharist and the Lord's Supper, and that is indeed part of what the Ministry of the Table is. But the thing I love about pop-up is the tables. It's the chance to sit with people, the chance to have a space of inclusion, a chance of to have family time almost. That time when you sit around, and I see home when I see people sitting around a table. I see this place as home, and I use it all the time when I speak. I read a lot of Mike Frost, who's a Baptist missiologist. He's a missional guy. He's a theologian and a speaker. He also calls himself an agitator, which I kind of like. That means he's out to rock the boat a little bit. And he says this when he's talking about ministry of the table. It's only when we face each other, only when we face each other, valuing the contributions of all, that we get closer to becoming all God intended us to be. It's only when we face each other and value everybody's contribution to that space that we are a people that God intended us to be. What does that look like for the Port Church? What does that look like for us, for you and me? This is another one. Yes, there we go. He invites us to remember shared meals. So Mike Frost in this blog talks about the fact that he thinks about the meals and the meal table. He thinks about the times when you sit around in celebration. Maybe it's a Christmas. Maybe it's a celebration with family that you haven't seen for a while. Or maybe it's your Sunday lunch. Or maybe it's a dinner after a busy week. He invites us to remember shared meals and to see them as therapeutic. Seeing them as a place where therapy can happen. See them as a place of life-giving joy. They are small acts, he says. Mealtimes are small acts that are significant when we reflect on them. Small acts that are significant when we reflect on them. I thought, as I was preparing this, I thought about memories around meal tables, and maybe you can think of one now, or you can think of a time when a meal was significant for you. I think about my mum, who's passed away now, and I think about, we used to go there all the time for dinner, and to be honest, the food wasn't that good. She wasn't the greatest cook, but she tried her best, right? She those times were special. Not because of what we ate on the table, but because of the fellowship and the time we had with her. Didn't matter if she needed to put some extra salt in her food, but the conversation was the thing that nourished and sustained us. I think about the time when we went to Paris, and I think I've shared this story with you before. We'd missed some flights, it was chaos, and we had to stay in Paris for some extra time. And the family I'd never met Jackie's side of the family at all. I'd never met any of them. But here we were with family, and they bought me a simple breakfast because they could tell I was stressed out. And they hadn't been shopping that morning, and the bread was a little stale and the jam was good. But it was food that nourished my soul, not because, again, of what was on the plate, but because of the context that it was in. It was a welcoming space. It was a space where I felt loved and accepted. On to the next slide. I think I've missed one. I did, but that's okay. Let me fly back here. Theologian Letty Russell says this when she refers to church around the tables. She claims that such churches are better able to do discipleship than larger, more traditional church. Because of those things we've talked about already, she suggests that sitting around a table, and again, I want you to get, this is relevant to pop up and to my ministry in the community, but I want you to think about this in your context. Think about it outside of pop up. Think about it with the friends that you might associate with or the places you might go. But discipleship is far easier to do around a small table than it is in a bigger traditional church because it fosters deeper conversation. It fosters deeper sharing and it fosters deeper learning. We found that at Pop-Up, that once we sit around in a table that it fosters deep connection, deep conversation and deep learning. The beauty of sitting at a table is that it does just that. We are invited to listen. And when we listen and when we truly hear each other, we build relationships of trust and acceptance and we attribute value to the person. We give people value. Kelly, it's funny you're sitting right here because I'd written down right here, Kelly, this question, Kelly, do you love Michelle? She's awesome. The underlying reason why Kelly loves Michelle is because Michelle accepts Kelly just as she is. And they met at Pop-Up, right? But we attribute value to the person when we truly listen, when we truly hear people, when we see past them and we listen to them, we truly build connection and we foster relationship. Here we go. This is where I want this slide. Faith sharing in the early church involved more conversations than lectures. The early church, yes, they taught in the synagogues and in the holy places, but the majority of the stuff that Jesus did was sitting around a table or sitting around a mealtime. He ate with them. I found this printout. This is from Luke's Gospel. This is every time meals are mentioned in Luke's Gospel, and it's long. He ate at Levi's house in Luke 5. In Luke 7, he had dinner at Simon the Pharisee's house. In Luke 9, he broke bread at Bethesda. In Luke 10, he had hospitality at the house of Martha. In Luke 11, he sat for a noon meal at lunchtime in the Pharisee's house again. In Luke 14, he had Sabbath dinner at another Pharisee's house. In Luke 19, he was at the house of Zacchaeus. In Luke 22, he broke bread at Passover. In Luke 24, he broke bread with Emmaus. And again in Luke 24, he had supper with his disciples. This list shows me that he sat with tax collectors and sinners. He sat with Pharisees and guests of the Pharisees. He sat with a sinful woman. He sat with Zacchaeus, the tax collector, and all these sort of people. And he did ministry, not through, yes, through the words that he spoke. He did many miracles around tables, didn't he? He did many miracles around a table. And that's my point today, is Jesus sat and ate with them. Jesus was in community. He continually put himself in places that were unexpected and did ministry there. I think about Jesus and the woman at the well. That story is one of my favorite stories in the whole gospel for what it represents and for what it means to us and that he sees us and he sees our faults and he sees us and loves us anyway. But I love that he was just resting there. He'd put himself in places where community was going to be. In this instance, he didn't choose to go and rest up the hill or rest under a tree. Or he didn't choose to go and rest in the synagogue. He chose to rest where he saw an opportunity for hospitality. He saw an opportunity to sit in community, to love and accept that person that was there. The woman came, he loved her. He talked to her, he talked to her about the things he knew of her. He talked to her about her husband and all the stuff that was going on in her life. He saw past her and truly sought to understand her. And this eventually led the woman to following Christ, to following him. And then the great thing that she did after that was she went and then proclaimed the goodness of this Jesus guy to everyone that she met. And we see that in Pop-Up. We see that in Pop-Up that people are crying out that they've got to come and be part of this place. You've got to come. Kelly's telling her friends, you've got to come and be part of this place. Why? Because Jesus is here. Because Jesus is amongst us, eating with us. Where do we place ourselves? How can we be in community? What is our community? How can we change ourselves and others? How can we be in tune with the Holy Spirit when we move amongst our community? And this is not a Holy Spirit who comes to condemn and to bash them with the gospel. This is a Holy Spirit that comes gentle like a dove and sits beside them and ministers to them. His ministry often happened around a meal. The next point, and my final point today, is change your view. And the little subheading is change your view on what God can do. It rhymes. You'll remember it. I love this verse. Now, we often use this verse as a benediction. The traditional church will always use this verse as a benediction. But if we look at the context of this verse, it is so powerful. It is so powerful. Now, to him who is able to carry out, this is from the Amplified. Now, to him who is able to carry out his purpose and superabundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. To him who is able to do everything superabundantly more than we can ask or dare or think. It's beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams. I get stuck on this verse sometimes. Sometimes this verse can just be a benediction. It can just be words. It can just be words with no understanding or no practical application. But if we really take God at his word and we believe what he can do more than we dare ask or think. Just comprehend that for a moment. When we're in a place where we need him, he can do more than we could ever dare ask or think. That is just like, we want this and he can do that. And I imagine a place where we are a church that is called to love their community, where it counts for everything. That as we sit in spaces with our community, whether that be the lunch table at work, on the footy field, whether it be around a cafe or a small group, whether it be here at Pop-Up, wherever we are, we need to remember these words that he can do more. He can do more. He can do more. when I think of He can do more and what it means to change and what it means to move and to trust, I think about the miracle of the fish in John 21. Sammy, can you play that clip right now, just for a minute? And just leave my mic up as well. We'll put the sound on there too. Thanks, guys. So, here they were. Jesus had just been raised from the dead. It's fitting that we're talking about it now because it was sort of a similar time frame. It was a few days later. He'd gone to the room and showed them his wounds. And then here he was on the shore with them. This is what the scripture has to say. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some." And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciple followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153 in number, but even with so many, the net was not torn. Then Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dare ask who he was because they knew it was the Lord. Sometimes when Jesus says, "Throw your nets on the other side," he can perform a miracle. The disciples were questioning what he was doing. You imagine, they were fishermen and they'd been out all night and there'd been no luck. They hadn't caught a fish. They hadn't caught a thing and they were tired and they were smelly and they were dirty and they just wanted to go home and clean themselves up. And here they are and they meet Jesus on the shore and he says, "If only you'll change your perspective and look on the other side." And you see, I love that clip. He gives him that look like, "Jesus, come on, man. Like, are you serious?" And Jesus says, "Yes, change your perspective. Change the way you've done things your whole life. Just trust me one second and change the things that you've been doing and come over here onto the other side of the boat and throw your net in." Before the miracle comes, change comes. Before a miracle comes, change has to come. Before a miracle comes, "Are you sure, Jesus? You really want me to do that? Like, I feel like I'm in control, Lord. I feel like I know what I'm doing, Lord. I've been doing this for all my life, Lord. I've been doing pop-up. I've been doing church. I've been doing community. I've been mixing with my friends. I've done it all my life. And you want me to come over here?" That takes obedience. It takes faith. God shows up when we dare. Like that verse says, when we dare to dream, when we dare to trust, God will show up. When we give up control and we give up our old ways and we give up the way that we've always done it and the way we've always thought about ourselves and the way we've always done life, when we give that up and we go to the other side of the boat and we just throw the net in, That's the place where he can do his miracles. When we say, God, you are bigger than me. When we say, God, you are bigger than my self-esteem. Lord, I can't do it. I haven't been given the gift of speaking. I haven't been given the gift. He would say, have a coffee with someone this week and sit. Lord, my house isn't good enough. I don't want to bring anyone into my house because they'll judge me and they'll look at me funny. But here I am, put the kettle on. Have someone over because it can do miracles. We are a church where loving our community counts for everything. Again, what does that community look like? We are blessed that community gather in this place on a Wednesday night. But our community is also those that we do life with. Those that we share opportunities with in our week. How can we love our neighbour this week? It might be our figurative neighbour, but how can we love the people we do life with at your community this week? What can we do different as we move through this phase and really believe that this is where God wants us to go as a church, where we broaden our perspective, where we take our perspective from just being here and in this building to being amongst the community? How can we lift our eyes and see? What would it take for you to throw your net on the other side this week, to change it up a bit? I focused on this, I thought about this, because in this place we are doing pop-up differently, and I don't know what it's going to do, and it could be crazy, but we're throwing our net on the other side in the hope that miracles happen, and we know they will, because God's word is true. So how can you this week maybe share a meal with someone? Show them hospitality in whatever way that looks like. Because we've seen today that is what Jesus does. Jesus didn't stand, well he did, but he didn't do a lot of his ministry from a pulpit. He did a lot from conversation. He did a lot through everyday stories about everyday things. Plowing fields and drawing water. He taught from stories of the day. And so we're not asking you as a church to be religious scholars and know the Bible back to front. We're just asking you to sit with your community and minister to them. God shows up when we dare and when we trust. And we give up control. So I wonder how we throw our nets on the other side this week. Why don't we pray? Just invite you right now, just to maybe think for a moment and reflect for a moment on the people that God has put in your life, the places you go, the people you meet. I just want you to reflect on that right now and think of those people that you can have conversations with this week, that you can do community with, that you can build relationship with. I want you just to focus on those for a moment. And then as you reflect on the places you go. Like Jesus at the well, he sat in a place of community and met people. What opportunities do you have this week to sit in community and be that smiling face to someone? Be that person who extends love and gratitude to another person. That's our challenge. Where can we be Jesus this week? Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that you are here and present with us. You're guiding us in everything that we do. And Lord, you guide us in every interaction. We just pray, Holy Spirit, that you come and fill us with courage and boldness to reach out to those around us that need your love and your acceptance. I ask you, Holy Spirit, to help us put aside our own things that restrict us, our doubts and our fears. We just pray that you be with us and encourage us this week. Encourage us to dare and ask and think more than we can ever imagine. Because we know, Lord, you can do more. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.